The Promise, Part 3, by Stefan Jacobsen, narrated by Chris Jenkins for Saga. 3. Later that same evening, city centre. It had started to rain. Nina turned up a collar. There were hardly any people on the streets at night. She intended to find a taxi at Norport and make use of the trip home to think. She'd always liked to walk. Clara's stilettos suited her nicely. She was halfway down the land market when the dark blue Audi A8 slowly passed her. She stood stock still, watching it. It pulled into the curb about 300 feet in front of her. The rain bucketed down. She forced herself to breathe more slowly. The city was deserted. She walked back, turned sharply to the right up Sumsgade, took off her shoes and pulled off her stockings near Pustervig. Her lungs were pumping, and she was soaking wet. A dark shadow detached itself from a gateway. Black baseball cap, black coat, broad shoulders. Ponytail. Lazarus. She blinked in the rain. The figure stood still, waiting. Nina slipped around the corner to house a place, a new corner, and straight into Carlo's widespread arms. He pulled around in an arc, slowing her down. Then he let her go and she slammed into the wall of a house, blowing all the air out of her lungs. He was still the most handsome man in the whole world. Time and age had been gracious to his face and figure. A little grey in the dark, thick hair, that was it. His hands were buried in the pockets of a black cashmere coat. He studied her curiously, his head slightly tilted as if she were a zoological phenomenon. White shirt, black tie, black suit. A fucking undertaker. Which was exactly what he was. His lackeys joined him. Nina stood literally with her back against the wall, the subject of intense scrutiny of a semicircle of dark figures. Carlo smiled sadly, showing his perfect white teeth. Actually, Nina, I hate you. For what you have done. Of course, but right now because you forced me to travel to your godforsaken, dreary country. But I understand you much better, now that I have seen where you have come from. The cold, the rain, the flatness. His hands left the coat pockets and raised themselves synchronously in a kind of blessing. He looked up into the rain and smiled. And I must say, your lovers are incredibly young. The boy in the hotel, Nina. He chuckled reproachfully. A few of the men laughed. Nina already had them figured out. She knew which of them could take care of themselves, which of them was a coward outside of the safety of the group. She could read people. That was her gift. Carlo's face became sober and businesslike, just like she expected. Gloomy, almost. He looked at her with his big black eyes. But there are other things that make me hate you, too. Of course, Nina muttered ironically. Carlo squinted. He'd never been troubled with self-irony. Yes. Nina thought back to that night in the beautiful old stone house in Lombardy, a country house that seemed born of the rolling green plains. She knew this night was going to be her last. She'd become a burden. She was irritable, unforgiving, and she demanded too much. It didn't pay to keep her in Carlo's extensive entourage. Plus, there were much younger and much more splendid Ukrainian beauties who were grateful and willing for anything. She only lasted as long as she did because Carlo liked habits and predictability, and perhaps he even felt a certain devotion to her, though Carlo was anything but sentimental. Nina had painstakingly built up a store of heroin and hid it behind the refrigerator's compressor. There was enough for her and Gabriella if they were disciplined and sensible, for at least a month. She wanted to bolt, with Gabriella, go cold turkey with the girl, somewhere. Lazarus had come to the bedroom where Nina had been lying naked in the crumpled sheets. He hadn't sensed her.